Every single call of God is accompanied by the power and the resources necessary in order to fulfill God's purpose in that call.
It's a familiar scene to see a mother call for her child and the little one completely ignore his parents' instructions. Of course, he's heard the words, but has refused to act on his parents' commands. From the child's point of view, his mom is just interrupting his fun and getting in the way of his activity. Now, as adults, it's easy to see the folly, even the danger, of ignoring the call of a parent. But you know, we often display the same lack of discernment in our relationship with the Lord. Welcome to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Charles Stanley. God issues four very specific, very direct, very clear calls to each one of us. But many times we act like the toddler I just mentioned and turn away from his voice because we don't want him to interrupt our plans. Learn more about how to listen for and respond to the call of God as you listen now to Charles Stanley.
I want to talk about the call of God. And I want, if you will, to turn to 1 Samuel in the third chapter. And this is the event of God's call to a young man. To give you a little background, Eli is the priest. Young Samuel has been taken to Eli to be an under-shepherd with him and to be a helper to him. And in the process, God has chosen to call young Samuel to be a prophet in Israel. And I want you to notice beginning in verse 2. And it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he couldn't see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. It was then that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I didn't call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose, went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you call me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening.'" So Samuel went, lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." And then he tells him what his message is, and that is what is going to happen to Eli because of his children and because of his sons, the way they've been acting around the temple. And God gives him a very ominous message, which Eli asks about. He tells him what the message is. And it's interesting what Eli says when he heard it. The scripture says in verse 18, "So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, 'It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him.'" Now, when we think in terms of God's call, let me say again, God does not limit his calls to missionaries and pastors and church staff members and so forth. God calls all of us. So I want us to talk about these four calls of God. And I ask him to give you, ask you to give them back to me in just a few moments. But the first call of God is the call to salvation. Now, Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, he said, "I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance." The Lord Jesus Christ came to call sinners to repentance. In fact, he said on one occasion, "Come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest to your soul. Rest from the burden of sin and guilt and condemnation. Forgiveness and cleansing and joy and peace and happiness and a whole new life." I want you to listen to what Jesus said, and I want you to turn, if you will, to John chapter 6. In the 6th chapter of John, Jesus said it a different way, but he said it three different times, three different ways, but he is in essence saying the same thing. In the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 37, listen to what Jesus said. He said, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." He said, listen, the Father must work in our life. And notice what he said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. Then if you'll turn to the 44th verse of the same chapter. 44th verse of the same chapter. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You see, somebody says, well, I'll get saved when I please. No, you won't. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the call of God begins with the working of the Holy Spirit doing what? Drawing us to the Savior. Then if you'll turn to the 65th verse, same chapter. And he was saying, for this reason I've said to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. Three times Jesus says, listen, no one can be saved unless the Spirit of God draws them. Then John chapter 14, verse 6. We most of us know it by heart. If you don't, turn to it if you will. John chapter 14, verse 6. Notice what he said. Jesus made it very, very clear. 14th chapter, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, not anyone, comes to the Father but by me. Why did Jesus keep saying, unless the Father draws you to me, unless the Father brings you to me, unless you answer the call, unless you answer the witness of the Spirit to come to me? Jesus says, no man comes to the Father but by me. If God would accept you apart from his Son, it would be a blasphemous act on the part of Almighty God to ignore his own Son, bypass him when he sent him to the cross to be crucified in order that you and I may be forgiven of our sins and establish a relationship with him. God's first call is the call of salvation. I did not come to call the righteous, he said, but sinners to repentance. Why did he give the Great Commission? Why does he send pastors and missionaries all over the world? Why does he send Bible teachers all over the world? To issue the call of Almighty God. We're simply God's spokesman. We're simply the voice of God saying, God loves you, God cares for you, God will forgive you, God does not condemn you. He desires you to have a relationship with him. He's willing to forgive you of your sins. God is calling you, my friend. You've never trusted him as your Savior. I'm telling you, the reason you're listening right now and the reason you're sitting here is that God is issuing a call. God is saying something to you about your life, that he owns you, he created you, he possessed you. Listen, he saved you. You belong to him. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God issues his call. His first call is the call to salvation. Second call is the call, listen, is the call to sanctification. You say, what in the world does that mean? Sanctification means, listen, when a person is sanctified, they're set apart by God for God. The Greek word sanctification or sanctify, hagios, is the same word which we get our word holy, sanctify, and saint. It is a call to holy living. If you go back to 1 Peter for a moment, go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And notice how he says it here in this first chapter. He says in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1, therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. That is, don't get out there living in the world and doing what the world did, which is what you used to do. He says, as obedient children, don't be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What is the call to sanctification? The call to sanctification is the call to obedience. It is the call to holy living. Now watch this. In the call to salvation, God issues that call until you and I answer it. And when we say yes to him and receive his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, that's the last time you ever hear that call. God is not going to call you to salvation once you've trusted him as your Savior. That call's over one time. The call to sanctification is not a one time or a call that ever ceases. It is a continuous call of the Spirit of God within us, because every single day of our life we're making decisions. We are facing decisions in finances and in your job and with your children and your home and relationships and all the rest. And each time we make a decision, we either make a decision to be obedient to God or not to be obedient to God. The Spirit of God who lives on the inside of us is there. Caution us, warn us, encourage us, enable us. Every single call of God is accompanied by the power and the resources necessary in order to fulfill God's purpose in that call. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a righteous, godly life. None of us can do it in the flesh. None of us can live a Christian life in our own strength. It is only as God enables us through the power of the Holy Spirit to live that life. It is the call of God. Sanctification isn't a one-time thing. Sanctification goes on in your life and mine every day. That's why He says we're to cleanse ourselves. That's why He says we're to confess our sins. If we do, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Why? Because He knows that even though our heart is bent toward Him, still have the flesh, still live in our naturalness, still have temptations, still have difficulties, still have trials, still times we doubt. Well, God, here's what you said, but Lord, I'm not sure this will work out. What happens? All of those things are part of the process of God cleansing us. What is He doing? He predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. So, listen, God knew that you and I couldn't handle it. So He gave us the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us to enable us, strengthen us, to be able, listen, to have spiritual discernment. What is the will of God? It is the work of the Holy Spirit to enable us to know this is what God wants me to do. Sometimes we may have three choices that all three look good. Well, Lord, what do you want? It is the work of the Spirit, the sanctifying work of the Spirit to cleanse my heart, cleanse my motives, cleanse my desires so I can say, yes, that is the will of God. You remember what Eli said when Samuel told him what God had said? He says, that is the word of the Lord. He was able to discern that what he heard was from God. The first call of God is the call to salvation. The second call of God is the call to sanctification. That is to live a holy life. So let me ask you this question. As you think in terms of your life today, when something arises, whether it's a temptation, whether it's an opportunity, whether it's something good, something bad, something sort of mediocre, wherever you want to put it in the gray area, let me ask you a question. Is your first response, what's the will of the Father? How does this fit God's plan? Does this sound like, you see, there's some things that sound like God. And what Eli was saying to Samuel was, Samuel, what I just heard you say sounds just like God. Now, I can hear some things that people say, well, here's what God told me. I know God didn't say it because it is an absolute contradiction to who He is and the ways of God. What I'm asking is this, is your heart bent toward God? Is your first concern, what would God have me to do? Or is your first concern, well, how will I look? What will other people think? How will that profit me? Will that satisfy me? You see, if my heart's bent toward God, my primary concern is to please Him. If my heart is bent toward the world, that is secondary. It's not really all that important. What I really am looking for is something to satisfy me. Second call is the call of sanctification. What's the third call? The third call is the call to service. Now, I'm going to repeat again that God does not just call people to serve in a church as a pastor or a musician or a missionary on the field somewhere. God's call takes on all kinds of things. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2, a passage of Scripture that most of us who've been a Christian a while know this one by heart, but many of you may not. And what I want you to see is this. It doesn't make any difference. Listen, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you answered the first call positively. It doesn't make any difference where you are on the second call. This third call, God issues to every one of His children. Listen to what He says. Verse 10, having talked about our salvation, He says, for we are His workmanship, that He's the one who's created us in Christ Jesus, that is, He's the one who saved us. For what purpose? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How does God carry on His work on earth? God does not come down in some miraculous form and walk around and get His job done. You know what He does? Think about this. God, in His awesome, infinite wisdom, chose something that most of us would never have chosen. He chose to do His work through people like us. I mean, you know, we are sinful. We have our naturalness. We are far from being perfect. We fail, we fault, you know what? So I'm using them. God has chosen to accomplish His work on this earth through people like you and me. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Are you serving the Lord in some fashion? Do you have a place of service? Is there some way you're serving God? You say, I'm going to one of these days. That's not what He didn't say one of these days you do that. He says He's called all of us as His servants. Now, our place of service may change. The activity that God has called us to do at this moment may change. But God calls us as His servants. Not just pastors and teachers and all the rest. He calls every single one. He has a place of service. Somebody says, well now, well you know what, I'm just a mother. My friend, you're not just a mother. Listen, tell me any higher calling than to be a godly wife. Tell me a higher calling than to be a godly mother who's pouring your life into your children, building that environment in their lives so that they will receive Jesus early, so that having received Jesus early, He'll have all of their life. So when He calls them early, they will hear it. And so they'll be able to discern that it's the voice of God calling them. Tell me something any higher than that. You see, you can't even pick anything. You say, I'm just this and I'm just that. No, God prepared beforehand a place for you to serve Him and a way to serve Him. You see, service helps us grow. Service enables us to understand the ways of God, how He works. It's when you and I, listen, when you and I are serving the Lord, that God, listen, it's in those times in our service to Him when we feel so inadequate, so absolutely incapable of doing what God has called us to do, that we just have to cry out in desperation, God, if You don't help me, if You don't do this, God, it's not going to get done. You know what happens? That grows our faith. God has the privilege of demonstrating His awesome power and His presence and His care and His love and His concern for us. Your abilities, your talents, your skills, your time, all that's a gift to God. Why did He give it to you? To be invested. To be invested in the, listen, in the work of ministry in some fashion. That's why serving God doesn't have to be limited to standing on a platform somewhere, but wherever God has called you, placing your life there, serving the living God there, many places of activity, of opportunities in the church, need people who are needed by children, by young adults, by adults, need to hear the gospel. There are many, many ways to serve God. The issue is this. Have you heard the call to service? Now, I've given you three calls. What's the first call? The call to what? Salvation. Second call, sanctification. Third call, service. Now, in each one of these, to some degree, you and I have had a bit of free will. And I will not ever say that we have an absolute free will. God gives us a degree of free will, but God does not give anybody absolute free will. Somebody says, well, it's my own choice. I made this myself, and God didn't have anything to do with it. Well, I will admit that a lot of messes God didn't have anything to do with. But when it comes to free will, your will is limited. Now, the fourth call, you can't control. You have nothing to do with it. It is a call that has... Listen, it's unavoidable, inescapable, and inevitable. Every single person will hear this call, and when they hear it, they will know where it's coming from and what it is. It is the call to accountability. Every single one of us will give an account. I give an account every single message. Did I prepare it with all of my heart? Was my heart spiritually prepared? Did I study the Word of God? Did I get it in a fashion, a form, and an order that would be simple and plain and easy for somebody to understand? Is my heart in it? Every single one of you, you give an account for how you've served on your job. Did you give them a full 8 hours? You give an account for what you've done with your money. Did you give God the first 10? And what did you do with the other 90%? What did you do about your gifts and your talents and your abilities and how you've related and how you grew up your children and all these things? We're going to give an account. You see, you know what God desires to say to you when you stand before Him? Here's what He wants to say. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what He wants to say. Now you say, well, I'm not a Christian. I've never trusted Jesus. What's He going to say to me? You don't know what He's going to say to me. Yes, I do. I know exactly what He's going to say because here's what He said in the Bible He was going to say. He tells us in the Scriptures exactly what He's going to say. That when you stand before Him, my friend, having rejected the first call of salvation, here's what He said I'm going to say. He says, I will say in that day, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. My friend, I know you can't possibly understand the awesome tragedy, horrible, indescribable, overwhelming terror that will pierce your heart when the Son of God whom you rejected who loved you enough to die on the cross for you, says to you, because you rebelled against me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Depart where? Into everlasting torment and separation from God. Because you made a choice. It was an unwise choice. You refused the call of God. You refused the message of God. You spurned the conviction of God. And you had it your way. My friend, with all of my heart, I plead with you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's calling you right now. If you're not saved, I know He's calling you. Because when the gospel message reaches an unbeliever's heart, it is a call of God. And I want to encourage you to tell the Lord Jesus Christ, you're trusting Him as your personal Savior. You need Him. And the moment you're asking Him to forgive you of your sins and place your life in His hands, He'll save you in this very moment, change your life. And you know what He'll do? He'll start doing what? Bending your life in the direction of holiness and righteousness and peace and joy and all the things you want, cannot find, and have found no substitute for it. It is my prayer to Almighty God, you will not reject this specific, clear call of God to you to be saved. And Father, how grateful we are that your message is simple. You said if we confess our sins to you, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, trusting Jesus Christ's death on the cross at Calvary as full payment, and therefore to receive him by faith means our salvation. Grant it to multitudes of people who hear this message is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
A day of accountability is coming for every person in the world. And on that day, each of us will stand before the Lord to give an explanation of how we answered the call of God. Will you hear Him say, "Well done," or "Depart from me, I never knew you"? The choice is up to you. Take Charles Stanley's advice and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, mankind has been subjected to many of Satan's deceitful lies. In order to combat Satan's evil lures, we must be armed with God's truth. If you feel your faith needs to be challenged and strengthened, then you'll be interested in a free subscription to the In Touch magazine. Through the articles and features in this monthly publication, you'll find the encouragement and understanding to stand firm in your time of trial. To begin your free subscription, just ask for the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. By the way, you can hear an encore presentation of today's radio message on Real Audio. Our internet address is intouch.org. All of us face difficulty in life, but for many people, those rough times cause them to doubt the goodness of God. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Stanley returns with an encouraging message that will help you see the Lord's gracious hand even in the worst of situations. Join us for this encouraging reminder Thursday. Touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. Charles Stanley's teaching is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.